We now welcome to the program a new CEO of the Pacific Northwest section of the PGA, Mr. Frank Tallarico. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you, James.
Well, we had you lined up a little bit before all of the wildness of the Pac-12 over the last 24 hours, but we appreciate you fitting us in on this Friday to go over some news in the golfing landscape, particularly in the region, and for you folks, which included the Pacific Northwest PGA Players Championship, which just wrapped up yesterday in Montana. For those of us who missed that because we were a bit caught up with all things Pac-12, admittedly the last 24 hours and in college sports, but even for the most casual of golf fans or the diehards, fill us in on how things went with the Pacific Northwest PGA Players Championship.
Happy to, James, and I'm actually happy to take a back seat to the Pac-12 as a Pac-12 fan myself and alum of the California Golden Bears. I'm hopeful that we'll do better than I think we expect to this year. Beautiful Canyon River Golf Club in Missoula, Montana was host. These last 3 days wrapped up yesterday to our PPC event. Corey Prue of Community College of Spokane won the event in a four-hole playoff. He overcame Brady Sharp of Wine Valley and Bo Baker of The Creek. Those of you who are following your local PGA professionals, you had your fifth place finisher in Oregon golfer Colin Inglis of Shadow Hills Country Club out in Junction City.
Gotcha. So, what? How big was the field as a whole, and what was the winning score there in the end?
Full field, low score was 15 under, and I should note that despite finishing fifth, Mr. Inglis is qualified to play now in April of next year, the National PGA Professional Championship being played out of Port St. Lucie. And what's notable about that is the top 20 scores from that event, he could be one of them because he's quite a player. The low 20 scores are invited to play in the 2021 PGA Championship, which is going to be held May 20th, 23rd out at the Ocean Course in beautiful Kiwa Island.
Give us an idea, Frank. Obviously, we all know the world that we've been living in the last six-plus months. You know, we hear various protocols from all the various professional leagues, from the PGA itself. When it's within the section of the PGA, are you under the same protocols and guidelines in terms of testing and everything that the PGA goes by as a whole? Are there, I don't want to say lower thresholds, but you know what I'm saying? I mean, not quite as daily testing or something? Or, I mean, what are the testing standards or operating standards that you have to abide by beyond whatever is in the local municipality? I mean, within the PGA itself, what are some of the things you folks operate under?
Sure. Actually, we follow very consistently whatever guidelines provided to us by the local authorities. In fact, our COVID policies mimic both each of the jurisdictions, so each of the five states in which we play golf, as well as the CDC. And, you know, if you want to talk about things that you would never think of that this impacts, I mean, just going back to the PPC event that finished out in Montana, in addition to understanding what the state of Montana expects of us with respect to social distancing and mandatory masking, you have to have conversations around things that if you're a golfer, you probably wouldn't even think of, like, you know, can we touch the flag stick? Can we have bunkers raked? So, you know, things that you wouldn't expect, but, you know, they're important because it involves the safety of our players and protecting the field.
We, again, also know that golf was widely expected, and you hear things all across the country, that golf courses were just packed, and packed in terms of that people wanted to get out, and whether it was people who took up the game in the first place and have been playing, you know, all their lives, and then other people are just saying, I need to get out, and if it means being on a relatively isolated golf course, and whether it be in a twosome, threesome, foursome, whatever the hell it is, you know, I'll go around and ride around the cart all day, just get me out of the house. Prior to the wildfires notwithstanding, most recently, what were you folks able to gauge in terms of the increase in golf play over the last, I'll say the prior 5 months? I'll kind of put September aside because we know that September was a bit of a mess.
Sure. So, you know, shutdowns affected all businesses, as we can all agree, and courses and practice facilities were not immune to those shutdowns. And as you said, as the reopening started, the pent-up demand, not just for golf, but I would say for all forms of recreation, we saw a steady increase in the demand for golf play and for practice. I mean, practice facilities are just as crowded as the golf facilities. And I think, too, what might be interesting to think through is, you know, one of the concerns or maybe one of the barriers for increased play outside of a pandemic or post-pandemic period is, you know, folks have really this concern that there's a time commitment involved with golf. You know, some folks say that the average round of golf is about 5 hours plus. That went away because folks had been at home for so long that they were just dying to get out and they didn't care for how long. In fact, probably longer was better. In terms of measuring it, yeah, we saw a very measurable uptick almost immediately. Scores, if you were to just look immediately after things started to open up in May, were up 22% over the previous year. So you saw 22% more folks posting rounds of golf for their handicaps for the USGA than the prior year. Rounds played, I mean, just in Memorial Day, if you want to bring it home to Oregon and Woodburn, for example, they were about 800 rounds. That's twice as many as the prior year's Memorial Day. And I think it's important to note that, you know, I think it was a personal decision to get out, not maybe a popular or a larger one that was influenced by any kind of exterior motives, because we're measuring this Memorial Day and the PGA Tour was still dark. They didn't come back until July when we saw the very first PGA Tour event return at Colonial.
Wow, twice the number of rounds on Memorial Day weekend? That's
correct.
Wow. That's impressive.
That's just that one course. And, you know, folks, it's interesting, too, if you want to you know, think through, too, you know, is this something that's going to be sustainable? The reports are out for August of this year, and if you know, you want to see where people speak by where they're spending their money, you know, equipment and soft goods for golf-specific sales in August of this year was 34% higher than August of 2019, and that's just your golf equipment. So people they're playing, they're buying the equipment, so they're going to go long, I think, on this trend.
Chatting with Frank Tallarico of the PGA Pacific Northwest section, how bad did the fires mess everything up from the courses? From obviously, we know people weren't going out there playing when there's smoke in the air for days on end and ash falling on their head. That's a given, and everything's in a matter of perspective here. But in terms of impact to courses in the region, let alone playing on them, but any of them that were damaged, give us a damage assessment.
Yeah, so I mean, first and foremost, I appreciate you making that comment. Nothing could compare to the seriousness of the fires and the devastation that so many people, regrettably, you know, have had to endure. And in fact, it's not just a localized impact. The event that happened in Montana this past week, there was some question at the end of the prior week whether or not we were going to be able to get that in, simply as a function of air quality. I mean, the air quality index, you know, has to be at 150 or lower per state standards, and that's pretty consistent across most state departments of recreation. And it was hovering in the 160s-ish. Now, I know that, you know, in Oregon, we saw 400, 500, 600 AQIs. And even closer to home, you know, you had the LPGA event last week, the Portland Classic up at Columbia Edgewater. In terms of, you're asking about impact, you know, multiple delays. They didn't have their typical Wednesday pro-am. And eventually, as we know, the event was reduced to a 54-hole event.
Wow. Wow. So give us to the courses themselves. How many do you know of in the region that suffered damages?
We're still getting feedback on that, so it's too early to really put a number to that. But it's going to be substantial, which is an interruption not just in business, but in sort of the long term viability. These are very natural facilities. They have to grow back in. They have to be cared for, and the impact of that is not just physical, but it's also emotional. You've got folks that work at those courses. In some cases, of, you know, public, you have local members there as well. So we're still getting our arms around it, but it's going to be significant.
Get you out of here on this, Frank. Just from, you mentioned some of the obviously round increases, sales increases, and the like. I know obviously that's everybody's doing everything online these days, but you had a merchandise show also that had to move to online. So for folks who are in the region who want to still try and squeeze in a couple of rounds before the weather turns on us here later in the fall and in the not-too-distant future, how do they go about any merchandise from the Pacific Northwest PGA?
I'd encourage you to keep your eyes open. We're going to be sending some communications out and marketing the annual, actually one of the few sections in the United States that runs an annual merchandise show, and typically that show is specific to just the PGA members and the hard and soft good manufacturers within the golf industry. The event this year is going virtual. It's going to be at the end of October, the 20th to 21st. And you can keep your eyes open. We're going to have some consumer, I think, angled items this year and in the years to come.
He is Frank Tallarico, the CEO of the Pacific Northwest section of the PGA. Appreciate all the time on this Friday, Frank.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You're listening to the James Crepia Show on Fox Sports Eugene.